This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You can cut it with a knife.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's so much tension and anxiety in the markets right now, you have this kind of scenario this morning. The government said employers cut 62,000 jobs last month. That's the sixth straight month of job losses. And Wall Street cheered. Investors were just glad it wasn't worse. Amy Scott has more on the jobs picture.
Most industries lost jobs last month. Residential and commercial construction took a big hit. Manufacturers lost more than 30,000 jobs. Temporary positions plunged. Only a few sectors, like healthcare, hospitality, and the government, showed signs of life. Economist Nigel Galt with Global Insight says we're still a ways off from the losses you might see in a full-blown recession.
But I'm afraid there are still darkening clouds on the horizon because we haven't yet seen the full impact of all these big increases in energy prices passing through.
The unemployment rate held its ground at 5.5%, but Galt says that's because fewer people were actively looking for work last month. One apparent bright spot, hourly wages rose by 6 cents in June, but factor in inflation and wages are falling. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The European Central Bank is worried about inflation enough that it raised its key interest rate today. It's the first G7 bank to raise rates in about a year. But the ECB hinted it might stop there. So the dollar rallied a bit, and oil came down from its lofty new record of $146 a barrel. Well, stocks are already back down in negative territory. The Dow has lost 2 points now to 11,213. The NASDAQ is down 15 points. The S&P 500 has lost 4. European shares are up about 1% so far. In Japan today, the Nikkei extended its losing streak to 11 days. Let's turn to our man in Asia, Scott Tong. He's in Shanghai. Scott, what specifically is dragging down the markets in Asia?
The broader story is a similar one to what we're hearing in the United States. A lot of it is connected to energy prices. Car makers, Toyota, et cetera, they've taken quite a hit. So, the world is pretty flat here, and they've got pretty similar worries to other markets in the world.
Well, Toyota obviously has a big impact on the Japanese stock market. What about China's stock market? How is it doing right now?
Well, if a bear market is 20%, then Shanghai is down 3 bears.
Wow.
Because the market is down 60% since last October. Right around then, you and I may have talked about PetroChina. There was an IPO last autumn, and PetroChina, when it issued these new shares, was suddenly declared a $1 trillion company, the biggest in the world by market value. Well, what's happened in PetroChina? Down 62%. So China's down a lot worse than most other markets in the world.
But I thought the sense was that China is kind of insulated because its economy is so red hot.
Well, the predictions are still that China may grow 8 or 9% this year. However, the stock market doesn't always reflect the economy here. The stock market is relatively small, and it's heavy on retail investors, a lot of people who are trading by themselves, either on their computer or at these brokerage houses. So momentum and how people are feeling about the stock market really play a big role in whether it goes up or down.
Well, Scott, how is the Chinese government responding to this huge drop in the stock market?
The Chinese government is really actively involved in the stock market. And this year, of course, is the Olympics. And a lot of investors were expecting Beijing to say, you know what, we're going to help the stock market. We're going to introduce some new policies to bring it back up. Well, guess what? It hasn't happened. The investor sentiment hasn't really picked up the way a lot of people expected it to. So as influential as Big Brother may be in China, even Beijing isn't able to stem these losses.
All right, Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thank you.
Okay, Scott. Nice to talk to you.
This is the Morning Report for Thursday, July 3rd on Marketplace.org. Most people in Congress have already taken off for the July 4th weekend, but some of their staff members are lagging behind. They're trying to work on the National Flood Insurance Program. It expires in September. With its renewal, the National Wildlife Foundation wants to require that homes are built out of harm's way. From Washington, Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The premiums for federal flood insurance aren't enough to keep the program above water. It's now about $17 billion in the red. Critics want strict requirements about where and how people rebuild after a flood. Gerald Galloway teaches engineering at the University of Maryland.
It's foolish for the government to keep coming back year after year and bailing people out of something that we know is a risky area.
The National Wildlife Federation says that needs to change because global warming will increase flooding. NWF scientist David Conrad says Congress could require stilts on low-lying houses.
It may make sense to build higher or try not to build at all in places that are at significant risk.
Conrad says buildings in floodplains leave no place for floodwaters to go. House and Senate negotiators hope to hammer out a final flood insurance bill by late July. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Grain prices are pinching everyone. Bakers, farmers, livestock producers, especially in the organic food industry. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
There's some simple math when it comes to milk production. The more grain you feed your cows, the more milk you get. The problem is not going broke in the process.
That pile of grain is pretty dismal.
Tony Acevedo is an organic dairy farmer in California's San Joaquin Valley.
There's only about 10 or 15 tons of grain, which usually we would keep 40 or 50 tons of grain. But because of the cost, we just keep very little on hand.
Acevedo says his feed costs have surged more than 40% in the last few months, pushing his operation into the red.
We don't have an option. We can't say, okay, we're not going to buy anything this year. These animals eat every day.
Organic dairy farmers aren't the only ones feeling the pinch of high feed costs, but they are among the most vulnerable. Organic milk, eggs, and meat are at the top of the chemical, fertilizer, and pesticide-free food chain. That means all the grain these animals eat is also organic. The problem is there isn't enough of it to go around. Dan Bossi is an economist with Ag Resources in Chicago.
The landscape for agriculture has changed rather dramatically.
Bossi says a few years ago, organic grains like corn could be sold at a healthy premium over conventional crops, more than making up for the added costs and labor. But biofuels have reversed that equation. Ethanol's appetite for corn of any kind has driven up the price of conventional grains much faster than organics, all but erasing the premium.
The reason they moved over to organics to begin with was because of the extra money. If that extra money isn't there, they're back to conventional farming because it is a much easier way of life.
Bossi says this is bad news for organic dairy producers. Midwest farmers are abandoning organic grain production at a time when organic milk is experiencing a glut. That oversupply has delayed any severe jumps in the cost of organic milk, at least for now. But as feed costs force dozens of organic dairies out of business, Bossi says it's only a matter of time before consumers are left holding the tab.
I think anybody consuming organic products has got to get ready for sticker shock and probably an escalation in price of 30 to 40% over the next couple of years.
The question, he says, is just how loyal organic consumers will be once milk tops $8 a gallon. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Here's how bad things have gotten for U.S. car makers. GM sales fell 18% in June compared to last year, and that was considered good news. Chrysler's drop was twice that. So it's going to ratchet up the incentives. buy a Chrysler, get $3 gasoline for 3 years. Rico Galliano considers Chrysler's logic.
Or, rather, the lack thereof. Because with gas prices rising, isn't Chrysler's offer kind of stupid? Jesse Toprak of car website Edmunds.com says it may be for car buyers.
In a lot of the cases, consumers are better off taking a traditional large cash rebate than the gas card.
Here's the math. At current prices, Toprak says Chrysler's deal can save you as much as $3,000 over 3 years. But on some vehicles, consumers can opt instead for thousands more in rebates. Even a big jump in gas prices might not make up the difference. Still, critics wonder why Chrysler is selling the promise of cheaper gas instead of building more fuel-efficient cars.
As an automaker, what are you going to do for a car that is already sitting on dealer's lot? You can't change your product. You have to figure out a way to get rid of it.
Honda, meanwhile, has less trouble getting rid of their product. They were the only major automaker to post a sales increase last month. They've got the most fuel-efficient car lineup on the market. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
You want evidence? You got it. A judge has ordered Google to turn over the log for every single video watched on YouTube. Every one of them. Plus the computer details of every person who watched every video. This is part of Viacom's copyright lawsuit against YouTube. So many people have downloaded the new Coldplay album, it's set a record. Viva La Vida has sold 354,000 downloads in 2 weeks, and that breaks the previous record from John Mayer. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.